Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening in the sanctuary, and anybody that happens to be online also. We're going to praise the Lord together. We're going to start out by singing, "We Will Glorify." We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Who is the great I
Precious Jesus, We're so glad that you've redeemed us, precious Jesus. And we lift our hands before you as a token of our love, precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts anew, Holy Spirit. And we lift our voice before you as a token of our love, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
God will take care of you.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And be seated, and please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Okay, amen. Well, good to see each and every one of you tonight. I hope you're doing well. Everybody doing okay? Amen. All right, all right. There's a few chickens here this evening. Let's think about it. We got anybody watching online? Okay, got three many. Good to see you folks online. Thank you for being with us. Let's do some prayer. Well, we got any praises first? What you got? What you got? Praises. Yeah, back there in the back. Oh, yeah. God is constant, never leaves us. God is constant. You said waiting on us? Amen. Never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. God is constantly waiting on us. I like it. Even though, yeah, brother in the back. Amen. Blessing with the Holy Spirit and God. Yeah, Holy Spirit lets us know God cares about us. Yes. Right, amen. Amen. Other praises. Yes, sir, in the back. Amen. Yes. Amen. And what was the most common comment you had when you try to give people a tract? They would say, well, I'm not religious. The country and world sharing their faith, man. Amen. God still saves, doesn't he? Sharing their faith. All right, Brother Marco, you said you had a prayer request? Yes. Somebody, yeah. Yes, amen. Yes, sir. Lost friends and family. All right, all right. Any other testimonies or praises? Anything else? All right. Well, what verse, what passage this week, this past week, has really blessed your heart, blessed your soul? What verse? What? Psalm 130. Read it to me, brother. Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Amen, man. Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8. That's great. What other passage of Scripture or Bible story or what else has grabbed you this week? What else, what else? Romans 4:12. Amen. That's a good verse. Amen, amen. All right. What else? What else? What else? Scripture that has blessed you this week. Matthew 10:28. Read it for me, brother. And so, amen. Matthew 10:28. Amen. Amen, amen. Other passages or Bible stories that have gripped you. Anybody else? Luke 12:31. Amen. All right. Luke 12:31. All right. Any other Bible that's grabbed you this week? Anybody else got anything else? All right. All right, prayer requests then. Lost family and friends. Your niece, what's her name? Trisha Fisher. Okay. Whole family's unvaccinated and she's got the COVID. How bad? How long is... She's what? Just weak? How long has she been diagnosed? 2 days, okay. All right, well, you keep us updated. Let us know next Sunday. Day 10 is about when it really starts rocking and rolling. In Orange, Texas. Okay, so she's a pastor's wife. Orange Grove. All right, Orange Grove. Yeah, Robstown, down south. Yeah, I know where you're at, Robstown, sure. All right, we'll be lifting up Trisha Fisher, mother of five boys, pastor's wife from Orange Grove with COVID. All right, what else? Jerry Burr. Jerry Burrow, COVID. Okay, COVID still on vent. And then we got Joe Olvera, COVID. All right. What else? Yes. His name is Glenn?
Yeah, Glenn, G-L-E-N.
Okay, and we're just praying for family needs?
Yeah, family, their family,
family
relationships.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Lori's dad's air conditioning in his truck has gone out.
Okay, Lori's dad's. AC is out. This is in his truck.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Well, you need AC right now. Kind of nice if you have it in your vehicle. You certainly need it in your house. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Pat. Cherie Y. Copen. Thyroid cancer, stage 5, or level 5. Okay, amen. Be in prayer for Brother Paul, his upcoming surgery, August 18th. Be in prayer for Brother Bill on hospice. What else, what else? Anything else? Unspokens? Pray for our... yes, sir, Brother Marco. That's right. She didn't elaborate, yeah. Right. Traveling Mercies. Amen. We'll lift up Miss Sissy for that. What else? Anything else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen. Anything on the line? Anything online? Anything come across online? Okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to intercede on behalf of others. Lord, we're thankful tonight that, first of all, we're saved, and, Lord, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We thank you for that praise tonight from James, that he knows he's got the Holy Spirit in him, and that Holy Spirit reveals things to us. And one of the things it reveals is that God cares for us. And, Lord, I pray that we continue to be in the Word each and every day. And, Lord, we continue to be in prayer to you so that when we're asked about what Scripture has touched us and blessed us, Lord, that we've got ready recall of what you've revealed to us in your Word. Lord, we thank you for these different verses that were shared to us out of your Gospel and out of Paul's book to the Romans and out of David's Psalm. Lord, we're thankful for these things that have been shared tonight. And, Lord, I pray that there would be a spirit of wanting to share each other's Bible study, personal Bible study time with one another on Sunday night? Or would you be able to just say, hey, man, you know, I read this on Monday, or I read this on Tuesday, or this blessed my soul on Wednesday, and I just want to share it with the church tonight. But, Lord, I pray that that would happen for us. We are thankful for these praises that we received tonight. Lord, we're thankful that you still save, and we're thankful, Lord, that there are Christians around this country and around this world that are bold in their faith and not just live their faith in front of others, but actually share their faith and talk about their testimony and talk about how they were saved. And Lord, thank you that we can do that in this country. Certainly in the workplace, we have to be careful with that. But Lord, outside of that, in our neighborhoods and where we go, Lord, we can be bold in our faith and talk about Jesus, talk about what salvation means to us and what Jesus has done for us. So, Lord, we're just thankful for that. Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we lift up these prayer requests to you. First of all, we lift up Tricia Fisher to you, this pastor's wife from Orange Grove and mother of five. Lord, we pray that you just strengthen her body from this COVID-19 and Lord, that you would protect her children and her husband from coming down with the sickness. I pray you help them social distance as best they can in the house. And Lord, if they have to farm out some of the kids to friends and neighbors and family, then Lord, let that happen. Let those boys get on out of the house for a while so that mom can heal up and get well. But we lift up Tricia to you tonight, Lord. We pray for Jerry Burrow and his COVID and still on the ventilator. We pray that you touch his lungs and touch his body and bring healing to him in a mighty way. Joe O'Vara, we pray for him and this continued fever that he's having with this COVID bout that he's got. Breakthrough infection, had the one-shot vaccination, Lord, and he's come down with it. So we pray for Joe, pray for his healing, pray that he gets healed up. We are praying tonight, Lord, and I would just invite each and every person either watching us online or in here with us right here right now, Lord, if they've got a name or names of people they would like to lift up for salvation, Lord, then just let them silently speak those names to you and just pray a sentence prayer that these folks would come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and would realize that they're a sinner in need of a Savior and that they would receive Jesus Christ before it is eternally too late. Lord, we pray for Miss Sissy and whatever situation is going on in her life, having to take her out of town this weekend. We pray for her traveling mercies as she transitions back home. Lord, we pray for Lori's boss, Glenn, and the family needs that's going on in that family and the relationship issues that need to be healed up and worked out, Lord. We just lift up Glenn's family and pray that there would be a breakthrough there. We lift up Lori's dad to you. And Lord, we pray for his car troubles. And Lord, it's never fun this time of year to not have AC in the car, and it can just be miserable. And Lord, we pray if there's a way for that to work out and him to get that air conditioning fixed. And Lord, we pray you'd open a door for Lori's dad to do that. We lift up Cherie Wykopen in this thyroid cancer that she has got a good case of. Lord, we pray for Hal that he would be just Cherie's strength right now, would be able to just care for his wife in such a way that she's encouraged to go to the doctors and to get the diagnosis and to receive the treatment plans. Lord, we know they're probably going to take that thyroid. We pray that in the midst of this pandemic and this uptick of COVID cases, that this surgery, just like Brother Paul's, would not get pushed back, but they'd be able to get her in and get that taken care of and get her on a path to healing. Lord, we do lift up Brother Paul. Pray you continue to keep him healthy. And Lord, as we prayed in the Sunday school class, as Brother Marco prayed in the Sunday school class or the Sunday school teachers meeting today, we just pray that, Lord, everything lines up for Brother Paul to have this cancer surgery and get this cancer out of his body. We pray that that day, the night before that day, several days before that day, Lord, that the case count there at Methodist down there, Lord, it would be low, that the ER would not be inundated and overrun, And Lord, his surgery would be able to go on as scheduled. We pray for Brother Bill. We pray for this hospice care that he's under right now. We pray for his grace. Pray for grace and comfort as Brother Bill walks through that valley of the shadow. And Lord, we just pray that you help him with the pain and the discomfort. And Lord, we just pray that everyone at that house just senses your presence and your love and your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're thankful for Brother Bill's life, what a long life he's gotten to live. And Lord, we know that is a gift from you and a blessing from you. And Lord, so I just pray that these family visits that come in for Brother Bill, I just pray that they have a good time as they get together and remember some good things and get to share their love with Brother Bill one more time. But we lift him up and just pray for his pain level and pray for his discomfort. Pray that you give Miss Karen and Gary and Todd and all their extended family, give them what they need, Lord, as they go through this together as a family. Thank you for Brother Bill. We thank you for his service as a deacon. And Lord, we just pray that you you help him during this most normal time, but very difficult time in his life. Lord, we do pray for our healthcare workers. We pray for the hospitals around here and the doctors and the nurses and nurses' assistants. And Lord, just everybody involved with caring for folks that are sick. And Lord, we just pray you strengthen them in their bones and in their hearts and strengthen them in their resolve, Lord, and just help them go another day when they don't think they can go another day, and help them go another hour when they don't think they can go another hour. And Lord, help them go another minute when they don't even think they can go another minute. And Lord, I just pray that they would continue to lean into what you've called them to do as doctors and nurses. And Lord, as people get vaccinated and get this stuff and build up antibodies, that finally, some way, somehow, there'll be a herd immunity and this thing wouldn't mutate anymore. This COVID virus wouldn't mutate into an Echo variant or a Foxtrot variant or whatever, Lord. But we'd finally start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. God, we know you're in control. We know you're the great physician. And Lord, we're just asking for encouragement. We're asking for protection. We do pray a hedge of protection around this body of believers. We are trying to social distance, Lord. Maybe not so many wear masks, but we are trying to social distance. And Lord, we just pray your protective hand upon us. May we be wise in our caution. And Lord, may we be supportive of one another's decisions. But Lord, I pray that this would we could all just get to the other side of this. Thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. We praise you that we can gather on a Sunday night. We pray for those that wanted to be here that didn't make it. We pray that you help them make it next time. And Lord, we're just looking forward to your goodness and your grace as we dig into the Word of God. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. All right. Well, we end the book of Revelation, right? Revelation. So we are in Revelation chapter 13. And I'll get you to turn there and stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, Revelation 13. And this will be our third installment on the mark of the beast. And we should finish it. Should be good. Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse 16. If you found it, those of you watching with us online, Revelation 13, 16 through 18. Amen? Word of God reads, "And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Thank you all for standing. Well, we're talking again about the mark of the beast. We're back on this mark here this Sunday evening, trying to finish it up. We've already covered 2 points concerning this mark. The first point we covered and dove into, so to speak, was that 666 will be a mark that identifies loyalty. People that receive this mark will be loyal to who? They'll be loyal to the Antichrist by the invitation or the evil conviction or whatever you want to call it of the false prophet. They will be loyal to the Antichrist and in turn loyal to the dragon, who is none other than Satan and the devil himself. So 666 will be a mark that identifies loyalty. That was verse 16. We also said, we covered another point, 666 will be a mark that enables short-term survival, because you will not be able to trade, buy, do anything without this said mark, either on your hand or on your forehead. So it is a mark that enables short-term survival. It's not going to give you survival all the way through, because the devil's reign is going to finally run its course. His power is finally going to come to an end, and it's going to be over for him and for those that have taken this mark of the beast. But it will enable some short-term survival. That was verse 17. Finally, we look at tonight, 666 will be a mark. It will be a mark that illustrates, and it illustrates in a huge way, but it illustrates the devil's, Satan, the dragon's, his fleeting power. So it's kind of like a bell curve, right? And so it goes up, and he has the pinnacle, he has the big climax, he's got everything, all the power, he's at the top, he's at the apex, he's at the mountain of his power, and then boom, he starts to come down. So 666 will be a mark that illustrates the devil's fleeting power. That's basically the balance of verses 17 and 18. He has temporary power to name his Antichrist, as we cover this tonight. Now, we are told that the mark is tied to a number, that this number is tied to the name of the beast. Now, not trying to confuse you tonight, but just trying to review a little bit, which beast is this number in reference to? Which beast? Remember, there's two beasts. There's the beast out of the sea, and there's the beast out of land. The beast out of the sea is the who? Antichrist. The beast out of the land is the who? False prophet, right? Okay. And then the Antichrist, or the false prophet, makes an image to the beast, the Antichrist. Don't get confused. So you basically have two trinities. You have a holy trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have an unholy trinity, the dragon, the devil, number one. He's trying to be the Father. He's trying to be God the Father. He's the evil devil. And then you've got his Antichrist. That's the counterpart to Jesus, the second person of the Godhead in the Holy Trinity. And then you have the false prophet, which is the anti-spirit, so to speak. He's the beast out of land. And so he makes up the third person of the unholy Trinity, right? And so this number is referenced to the Antichrist, the second person of the unholy Trinity, if you will, right? The beast out of the sea, or we would call him the Antichrist. Now, who institutes this number? Anybody? Who institutes? Who says, we're going to do this number? This number is going to be great. You got to come down right now, bow, give your allegiance to the Antichrist. He's the bomb diggity. Look at him. He's solving all the problems. Man, you want to take this number. Who does that? Correctamundo, that is right, the false prophet. He institutes this number. He comes up with this. He's the proponent of it. He's the great cheerleader, the false prophet, the beast out of the land. Now, this number and who this Antichrist is, this has led to some wild speculation over the years, right? And it is nothing new. Well, you know, Pastor, we were doing this back in the 60s, or we were speculating back in the 70s, and man, this was big debate in the 80s. Friend, I want to tell you, they have been speculating this name and speculating this number and what this all means. They've been doing this all the way back to the 2nd and 3rd century after the ascension of Jesus Christ. We shared when we first introduced this passage that trying to figure out this name goes all the way back to the 2nd and 3rd centuries. In ancient times, number values were attached to Greek and Hebrew letters. And using what is known as a gematria, okay, G-E-M-A-T-R-I-A, a gematria, which is an ancient form of numerology, A number is assigned. A number is assigned to each letter in the alphabet. And these numbers are then used to seek hidden meaning, hidden messages in words. That makes sense? Amen? Yes, yes? Okay. The people who believe in such things believe that numerical equivalence in names and words is not coincidental, but is providential. I mean, you've looked at people before and you said, man, that guy looks like a Stephen. Or that guy looks like a James. Or that guy looks like a Gene, you know. I mean, you know, what else would you call that guy? I mean, he just looks like it. I mean, we didn't pick our names, right? Our names were given to us by somebody. Our parents named us or somebody named us, right? Somebody put it on a birth certificate somewhere, somehow. What you going to name that kid? This is number 6, this is number 7. What kid is this? It's number 8. How many kids were in your home, Becky? 11. So they never ran out of names, huh? No, mom just keep coming up with them, right? Do they all start with B or no? They're all different. Could have 12. Wow. One didn't work out. Wow. Wow. You see some families and that the kids, their names all start with the same letter, or they all have the same ending, or they all have the kind of the same syllables to them, right? The people who believe in such things believe that numerical equivalence in names and words is not coincidental, but providential. So the beast's name, when known, will yield the number 666. Now, people have used all different kinds of numerological systems to propose many different possibilities as to who might be the Antichrist. They have taken letters and people's names and added up the numerical value and declared that this person or that person had to be the Antichrist. And we've talked about this. This is kind of a little review for you, but they've suggested that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist, or Napoleon Bonaparte was the Antichrist, or even a recent history, Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist, or Bill Clinton was the Antichrist, or George W. Bush was the Antichrist, or Barack Obama was the Antichrist. I never heard anybody say that Donald Trump could be the Antichrist, but maybe they were saying that, and I just was immune to that. Haven't heard anything about Joe Biden. I mean, President Biden, I mean, he's just not the most eloquent speaker out there, so, I mean, I don't know if that term would ever stick. But back in the 80s, if you can remember back that far, that's been a long time now, hasn't it? The 80s, what is this, 2021? It's been 40 years. Back in the 1980s, some people believed that Gorbachev, remember Gorbachev? The Russian, what was he? Yeah, dictator, president. Gorbachev was the Antichrist because of the huge birthmark. You know, he's got some kind of weird thing going on the head, and that must symbolize the mark of the beast, 666. So the fact is, we don't know who the Antichrist is. Is or who the Antichrist will be, other than he will be a what? He's going to be an elegant speaker. He's going to be a man, right? Not going to be a woman. Going to be a man, okay? False prophet going to be a man. Antichrist going to be a man, okay? So that's really all we can narrow it down to. So if you're a, you know, if you're a woman tonight, pressure's off. Amen, amen. You don't have to worry about that, amen? Right? Don't have to worry about that. We can do all sorts, and people have, all sorts of numerical gymnastics, but we will still be in the dark concerning his identity. Now, when he appears, when he finally does come on the scene, all right, during the tribulation, the people living in that day will experience the very height, the very apex, the very top of the devil's fleeting power when he comes on the throne, when he comes on the scene. Now, in the expression of his power, the devil's power, the mystery will be over. As he expresses and exercises his fleeting power, the mystery of who the Antichrist will be over, and people will have all their questions answered as to who is the devil's man. They won't have to look long. They won't have to look far. I'm telling you, when the time comes, he will be on every device known to man. He will be everywhere. He will be in Times Square. He will be in China. He will be on the billboards and on the electronics in Russia. He will be in Africa. He will be in Antarctica. He will be in Alaska. You name it, friend. His image will be everywhere. It will be transmitted 24/7, 365. You will not be able to get away from it. Now, 666 will be a mark that illustrates the devil's fleeting power. He has temporary power to name his Antichrist. His power is limited to indwelling a mere man. All right? Antichrist is going to be a man. False prophet going to be a man. In that, Satan lacks what? What does Satan lack? He lacks creative power. He cannot create. He can only mess up. He can only take over. He can only destroy. He can only a dam, so to speak, but he cannot create, for he is not a god. Amen? Even though he pretends to be the ultimate god of this world, the devil, Satan, the dragon of Revelation 12, is merely a usurper of power. Now, we're told that the beast's number, the number of man, we're told his number is 666. 666. Six in the Bible is the number of man. Amen? That's our number, right? Man was created on the sixth day, right? The number six is short, one number, from being number seven. And number seven is the number of completion. Number seven is the number of perfection. The number six is seen several times in the Bible, and when the number six is in question, this number always comes up short. For example, I'll give you a few passages you can look up later if you would like. But for example, when Nebuchadnezzar made an idol, O King Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, the idol was 60 cubits by 6 cubits. 60 cubits by 6 cubits. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 reads this. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Okay? When Goliath came out to meet David in 1 Samuel 17, he was 6 cubits and a span tall, and he carried a spear whose weight weighed 600 shekels. 1 Samuel 17:4 says, then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 1 Samuel 17:7 says, the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. The Antichrist will be the very pinnacle of human achievement, of what a human can be, but it won't be for good, and it won't be for God, and it won't be by the Holy Spirit. It will be by something else. He will be the brightest. He will be the most powerful human the world has ever seen, minus, of course, Jesus Christ, right? He will be a remarkable man, but he will still fall short of completion and perfection, for his number decries, his number pronounces, his number illustrates his deficiency. Amen? Yes, yes? All right. So let's compare and contrast so that we know we got a little information tonight. So when the pastor asks on Wednesday night, we can try to regurgitate some of it and let the pastor know that we're at least paying attention on Sunday night. Man is represented by the number six, whereas God is represented by the number what? Seven, correct. Six and seven. There you go. All right? Seven speaks of completion and perfection. God is perfect and complete. Amen? Whether you're speaking of the Father, perfect and complete. Whether you're speaking of the Son, perfect and complete. Whether you're speaking of the Holy Spirit, perfect and complete. perfect and complete. You put the triune Godhead all together and you get what? 777. You get 3 sevens, right? Satan and his unholy trinity can never compete with God. Never, ever. They will give their maximum effort. They will give all their energy, all of their strength, their very best, but they will still be just 666. They will never be complete. They will never be perfect because they lack God. The question is, why would anyone choose this number? Why would anyone choose this number of insufficiency, of incompleteness, if this number ultimately represents loss and defeat? Why would anybody choose it? One could make the argument that since the Antichrist is the ruler of the world, he must be able to choose his own number. So then why 666? Well, my rebuttal to that argument would be, I just don't know if the devil gets a choice. I don't think he gets a choice at all. I don't think he does. This is in the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. This is in the Bible, right? I don't think Satan gets to change the details of God's inerrant Word, right? So, remember, Satan and his unholy trinity have temporary. Satan and his unholy temporary and his unholy trinity have limited. Satan and his unholy trinity have temporary, limited, and allowed power by God, by Jesus. Now, Satan has usurped. He has stolen this power. God has allowed him to keep it for a time. But God the Father only allows this evil as part of his sovereign plan of the redemption of mankind. That's all that's going on here. You're just playing a part. You're reading from a script. You do your deal. Your deal's going to be over. You're still going to the eternal lake of fire that's been prepared for you. Amen? Everybody tracking with that? The Lord has declared that the devil Superman will wear this number and will be ultimately defeated. So that's why he gets 666. Another angle may be that this number 666, this number 666 is more for God's people that have received the gospel and have gotten saved during the tribulation to be able to recognize who the Antichrist is when he comes and thus refuse anything to do with the number. This number will ultimately declare the Antichrist's name and his nature. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, I believe the speculation will be over as he will so emulate the devil who possesses him. Now, as we close it out tonight, I want to give you one final contrast. One final contrast. You want to pay attention to this one. Satan always marks his people. Satan always marks his people. He marks their bodies. He marks their souls. And he marks their minds. Don't forget that. I shared a passage with you, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I'll read it again tonight. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Did you hear it when I read it? Did you hear the word fortresses? Where are those fortresses at if we're not battling flesh? If for the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, where might these fortresses be? These fortresses are on the landscapes of people's souls. These fortresses are in people, right? These folks have made poor decisions. They've made sinful decisions. They've not repented of their sin. They've not confessed their sin. And so they've allowed a stronghold of the demonic and of the devil on the landscape of their soul. He's marked their soul, right? You've seen these folks that cut themselves and get into all this kind of self-destructive behavior? That is the devil marking his people, right? The devil marking his people. The cutters and the slicers, right? And you talk to these people and they go through therapy and they talk about the release that they get in cutting themselves and destroying their own flesh. That, friend, that's demonic. Does that make sense? That is evil when that goes on and when that happens. So Satan, what does he do, Pastor? Satan always marks. He marks his people's bodies. He marks his people's souls. And he ultimately marks their minds. How does he mark their mind? He marks their minds so they cannot see or perceive the gospel message. They are blinded. It is... We've read the passage before, but it's a deluding spirit that they cannot understand, they cannot discern, right? One final contrast. What does the devil do? The devil, he marks their bodies, their souls, and their minds. On the other hand, God does what? He doesn't mark us. He seals us. Notice the difference? You've been sealed, not marked. Sealed. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, "Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." Amen? Ephesians 1:13 says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That's one of Pastor Stephen's favorite verses right there. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 7. Got a few moments left. Revelation chapter 7. Are you there? Amen, amen. Let me wet that throat a little bit. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 2. "And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels," Revelation 7:2, "the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel." And then it goes through and tells you where they all come from. God seals those who come to Him through Jesus. You've been sealed if you're saved. He seals them for Himself, and He seals you for all eternity. Amen? You see the difference? Got to see the difference there. Now, there are some terrible days, awful days coming for this earth. We think it's bad now. Fires out west, pandemic raging around the world, floods over in Europe. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. There are terrible days coming on this earth, coming to this earth, that will make these days look like child's play. Satan is going to have free reign. The church is going to be raptured. People with the person of the Holy Spirit in them are going to be taken out of the world. And so there is going to be a free reign for Satan down here for several years. And billions of people will be brought under his grip for a time and then for an eternity. And every one of these people who take the mark of the beast, those of you listening to me online, maybe watching this down the road, every one of these people who take the mark of the beast, his name or his number on their hand or on their forehead, every one of you that do that, don't do it. If you do it, you will be destined for an eternity in a place called hell. Take your Bibles and turn back with me. We were in Revelation 13. Let's skip ahead a little bit. I won't try to steal too much of my thunder in future Bible studies, but we will refer to this passage. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 12. Revelation 14, 9 through 12. Have you found it? "Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So what can we say about that? Let me try to bottom line that for you as we close it out tonight. Taking the mark of the beast during the tribulation, taking the mark of the beast is essentially doing what? There's only one unpardonable sin. It's not homosexuality and it's not suicide. What is it, Pastor? Only one unpardonable sin. It's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So taking the mark of the beast is essentially blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31 says, "Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven." Shall not be forgiven. So they cannot take the mark of the beast, worship Satan, and then be saved. They will be marked on their bodies. They will be marked in their souls. And they will be marked in their mind. It will not happen based on the Word of God that we have just read. If they bow to Him, they take His mark, they are lost forever. You won't pray them out. You won't give money to get them out. You can't do anything. It's over. Now, that's a terrible truth. Amen? That's an awful truth. But don't let that happen to you. Those of you looking at this in the future, don't let that happen to you. You come to Jesus. You come to Christ while there is still time to be saved. If you're left here after the rapture and you survive the wars and you survive the famines and you survive the deaths and you survive the disease and you take the mark of the beast, you will go to hell. Bottom line. Bottom line. I leave you with this, those of you watching me at a future time. There's a better way. You can have your name called out one day by the Lord. You can have your name called out, your name, not your number. You can have your name called out one day by the Lord from the Lamb's Book of Life. Friend, your very name. Or the other option is you can take a number that damns you for all eternity. My plea to you, because the choice is yours, my plea to you is make whatever sacrifices you need to make to miss the mark and to hear your name. You want to miss the mark and you want to hear your name. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for another installment, another Bible study as we try to digest all this eschatology and all this end time symbolism, Lord, and try to get a handle on what's coming. Lord, we know that we are the church, and per your sovereign timetable, as we understand the book of the Revelation, we will be raptured. As we understand end time prophecy, we will be raptured and not in the midst of this. But Lord, there are others that will have been so close to salvation, but for whatever reason, they did not receive Christ, and so they will be left. Good people left during the tribulation. And Lord, we pray that those good people that have gospel knowledge, that have Bible knowledge, that have head knowledge, will not succumb to the false lies of the devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. But they, we pray for these future people, they, Lord, will receive the gospel and refuse the mark. For at whatever cost, they will refuse it. They will not take the mark of the beast. They will not take the name. They will not take the number. But they will receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We're thankful, Lord, that the Bible is true. And we're thankful, Lord, that your word is eternal. And Lord, I know, I believe with all my heart that there will be copies. There will be your word in some kind of format, hardback or online or somehow, some way. Your word will be ping-ponging around this old earth until you come back at your second coming. I believe it. I know it, and Lord, I just praise you for it. Thank you for your eternal word tonight. And may we as a church, may we seek to live it out and to share it and to sow the seeds of the gospel as we go throughout our week coming up. Thank you that you saved us, Lord, and may you use us to bring someone else closer to a saving knowledge of you. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right. Those of you online, we'll see you Wednesday night. For the rest of you, have a safe drive home or wherever you're heading. Amen. God bless you.